Today is Thursday, January 26, 2017. We're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Va'era Pinchas and possibly something on Rosh Chodesh.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the class. And if you'll please take your cell phones and silence them. So much would appreciate it, please. When we're done, please clean off the tables and leave the tablecloths, whatever tablecloths we have. I'd like to mention that people still continue to bring things. We are running out of forks. Is there anything else we're running out of besides forks? And we could use the smaller white cups, plastic cups, instead of the real big ones, the little white ones. I think they're on the table over there. You can see them. So if anybody is near Costco, it would really be appreciative. Yes.
Are we running on tablecloth?
We take care of the
tablecloth. They take care of the tablecloth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's okay. It happens. I'd like to thank those people who set up the room and helped me schlep in all the food. It really helps a lot after a long day to have people there helping you. I'd like to thank Young Israel and Rabbi Berger also for their generosity for opening up the doors for us to have this wonderful class with Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's really very, very nice. It's a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling to be wanted. So he sure makes that. He sure shares that type of feeling with me, and I'm sure he does with you as well. We're going to be davening Marav about 3 or 4 minutes after the class, and I just want to wish everybody a good year of Shabbos and a good Shabbos. Enjoy the class.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night. We got 2 days yet. Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Actually, one day.
One day tomorrow night. Less than one day.
Okay. We'll wait for Jerry to sit down. All right. This week is Parshas Va'era. It's also Rosh Chodesh. I don't know. We'll see if I could bring Rosh Chodesh in. I don't want to. But I want to discuss something that I've discussed in the past. I've added something to it. I discussed, but with differences, with some differences, I discussed it Sunday. Daniel is here, he'll have a somewhat of a repeat, but there are always changes. Okay. Vayda'aber Elokim Moshe Vayomer Elav and Yeshem. God spoke to Moshe and he said, I am God. Ve'era el Avram vel Yitzhak vel Yaakov v'kel Shakai. I appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. But my name God, Yudke Vavke, I did not make known to them. And this is actually one of the strangest psukim in the Torah. What is the Torah telling us here? What is the Torah telling us? And first of all, we do know that God did appear to the Yavos with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. What do you mean I didn't appear? So obviously the name Yud Kei Vav Kei represents something. That the name and that the name Kel Shakai represents something different. So I appear to the Yavos with a certain perspective, and I gave over a different perspective to you. But we have to understand how in these names there is a different perspective and what those perspectives are. Now, it's extremely complicated, these psukim, and what's interesting is that I looked at some of the non-religious commentaries on the Bible, and interesting, they all follow more or less what the Mefarshim say here, because otherwise it's very difficult to find out what the explanation is. Now, the way Rashi explains it, Rashi says that the name Kel Shakai denotes commitments from God, but commitments that they will not see the fruition of those commitments, the fulfillment of those commitments. In other words, I appear to the Yavos, I appear to the patriarchs, and I told the patriarchs, you're going to have descendants, and they're going to be a big nation, and they're going to get the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. But they knew that they weren't going to see this happen. But to you, Moshe, I appear and I tell you that you're going to take the Jews out of Egypt. And I said that you're going to see it happen. And you complain at the end of last week's Sedra. Lama zeh shlachani, why did you send me? Umeyos basi el paro, from the moment I came to paro, heira lo amazeh, vahatze lo hitzaltas amecha, and you didn't save your people. So the name, but, so God says, look at you and look at the Avos, look at the patriarchs. The patriarchs knew that they wouldn't see the fulfillment. I told them it's going to be in 400 years. And they didn't complain. And you are complaining. How we can understand it? So the name, and that's the name Kel Shakai denotes commitment, promises, but promises that will not be fulfilled in their lifetime. Whereas the name Yud Kei Vav Kei denotes promises and commitment that you'll see the fulfillment. So you shouldn't complain. Now, the question is how do we see that in these two names? Now, years ago, when I was a student in yeshiva, at that time, the Mashgiach, Rav Wernick, he used to call me over on Sundays and ask him to tell him a thought that I thought of on the Sedra. So this thought that I'm going to tell you, I made changes in it since, but the thought that I'm going to tell you was a thought the Sunday after Parshas Vayera that I told Rabbi Wernick, who was the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva. I said that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, from a Kabbalah perspective, means Haya Hove V'yiya, God was, God is, and God will be. Now, if you look at the letters of Haya, of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have the letters of HaYehovah V'yiyah contained in it. But it's more than that. You see, at the top of a Vav, Parshas Pinchas, the top of a Vav could be seen, even though halachically it can, but from a Kabbalah standpoint, from a Xeris Akasov standpoint, it could be seen as a Yud. So a Vav, the top of the Vav has some similarity. It wouldn't be kosher in a Sefer Torah as a Yud, but it has some similarity to a Yud. So name Yudke Vavke, you have Haya, because the top of the Vav could be a Yud. You have Yihye, because you have a Yud at the beginning, and the top of the Vav is a Yud, and you have also there, you have Hayes there, so you have the word Yihye there also. It will be. And you have Haya, and you have Hove there, because you have the Vav in the middle, and you have two Hays on both sides of it. So you have Haya Hove V'Yiyya. God was, God is, and God will be. But there's one difference. If it said Haya Hove V'Yiyya, it would be saying God was, God is, and God will be in three separate words. When you have Yudke Vavke, when you say God was, God is, and God will be, it's in one word. Why? I think the reason is because by God there is no separation between past, present, and future. By man, by that which is created, there is a separation between past, present, and future. But by God, who is above time, there is no separation between past, present, and future. So I think this is the reason there is no separation between the past and the present of the commitment and the fulfillment of the future. So the name Yudke Vavke denotes the idea of commitment, promise, and fulfillment of it in the same period of time. However, the question is, Kel Shakai obviously denotes the idea of separation between commitment and fulfillment. So we have to understand, why is it that the name Kel Shakai denotes separation between commitment, promise, and fulfillment? Now the question is, what does Shakai mean? Kel is a name, one of God's names of mercy, but what does Shakai mean? So there are many different explanations, and I will try here to say some of the explanations and apply it to our pasuk. One explanation, and this is the explanation found in the Gemara and some of the Rishonim, Mi sha'amar la'olam dai. He who said to the world, "Dai, enough." In the quick way, the Gemara explains it, that at a certain point, God said to the world, enough, creation ends. Creation wanted to continue. And the Gemara in Chagiga, applies it in the following manner, that the oceans were increasing, and there was, if creation had continued, it appears that the creation would have destroyed the world. But I think Misha Melolam Dai has an additional explanation. Yes, God stopped creation. But what it means that God stopped creation, I think, is that now there's a famous Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says, "Asher bara Elokim lasos." God created the world lasos to do. God wanted man, as I've mentioned many times, God wanted man to become his partner in the perpetuation of the world. My father would always mention that at the time of the Lipson earthquake, there was a dispute between the philosophers whether this is the best of all possible worlds or this isn't the best of all possible worlds. Voltaire said that this is a terrible world. You see how many people were killed, etc., etc. Others disagreed, I think, including Rousseau. Leibniz and Rousseau also. Okay, I read Rousseau. Anyway, so Rousseau also disagreed. And although Rousseau certainly was far from being a religious man, so they said that it is the best of all possibles. What is the Jewish perspective? And what I heard from my father is that God wanted man. In other words, if the world had been completed and everything would be perfect, man would have no task. Man, at best, would be a robot. God created the world with problems in order to make man, so to say, a partner of his. So to a certain degree, we could suggest that when God said enough, it was not only, on one hand, enough means I don't want the world destroyed through creation. But on the other hand, I don't want the world completed because man will have no task. And the purpose of creation was to make man a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and I think, when you take a look, it's brought down that the Greeks, they tried, as well as the Romans, even though they tried to stop the observance of the whole Torah. But there were three mitzvahs that were singled out. Bris Milah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. Now, Shabbos represents God's stopping creation, and in a sense, man become a part of God. Not, in other words, because creation was not complete, both on a physical level and a spiritual level. Obviously, Shabbos is a day identified with man assuming the task of completing the world, of becoming a partner of God on a spiritual level. Shabbos, man can't work. Not allowed to work. And it's very interesting. A non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos. A non-Jew is not allowed. Why? Because by God told Noach, Lo Yishbos. Noach was told that he can't rest on Shabbos. Why? Because for the non-Jew, Shabbos, to a certain degree, is a time for represents his responsibility, in a sense, the idea of not only continuing, the non-Jew, his main task is the upbuilding of the world on a physical level rather than a spiritual level. So the God completes his task of creation with the coming of Shabbos. So man, who is allowed to work, is not allowed to not work on Shabbos. That doesn't mean that if he has vacation, he can't take vacation. But he can't observe, a non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos because his role as being a partner of God manifests itself primarily as helping God in the physical completion of the world. Whereas the Jew, the primary goal, and Jew, and by the way, I'm not trying to tell people not to work, don't get me wrong. Okay, I know there are those that think that anybody who wears a yarmulke has that attitude. That's not my perspective. A man has to work, but Shabbos, the problem is, if we work all the time, we forget about our spiritual task. So Shabbos, which is dedicated to the spiritual task for the Jew, of the completion of the world, so on that day, work is prohibited. And why is that? Because God said enough. Now man has to play a role. Creation came to an end. And Rosh Chodesh for the Jew also represents, Rosh Chodesh represents the idea that God gave time over to the Jew. Time, which is in a sense something that's above man, God gave over to the Jew. The ability to determine, as the Gemara points out, when someone is considered to be a mature as immature, it all has to do, did they add a month or they didn't add a month to the year? Proclaiming, so in a sense, figuratively, time was given over to the Jew. And till that time, time was completely in the hands of God. So, and then, Bris Milah represents, in a sense, the imperfection of man. The famous story with Tanis Rupus Harasha had his debate with Rabbi Akiva, and he said to Rabbi Akiva, "What is greater, the creation of man or the creations of God?" Because he wanted to trick Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva asked him to give him a day. Okay, he went home and he said to his wife that she should bake a cake. And he came to Tranisrupus Arusha with the cake. And he came with some seeds of grain. And he gave Tranisrupus Arusha to taste the cake. Taste the cake, and he said, "How'd it taste?" He said, "It's delicious cake." Then he gave Tanishrupas Harasha the seeds of grain, and he tasted it. He said, "Swallow it." He swallowed it, and he almost vomited. So, which tasted better, the seeds of grain or the cake? So Tanishrupas Harasha said, "Of course, the cake tasted better." So he said, "The nicer they are than that which God, which man made. God made the grain. My wife made the cake. Why? Because God wanted that people should make cakes. People should make breads. The world, you don't have. I know people say hamotzi lechem in aretz, but the bread doesn't grow just by itself." So actually I always say that's the difference. Why is it that we say Bore Pri Ha'adama and Bore Pri Ha'etz? Okay, Bore Pri Ha'adama. When it comes to bread, we say Hamotzi Lechem Min Aretz. Because when we talk about Aretz, we talk about man dwelling in the land. We refer to countries as Aretz, that talks about man dwelling in the land. So, with bread, represents with you. If you have bread, you see, it's true, fruits and vegetables also planted, but you don't see the work of man in the fruits and vegetables. But when it comes to bread, you see the effort of men or women that they did in the baking and in the preparing. So there we use the word aretz. So in other words, but all that is why, because Misha Amar La'olam Dai, God said enough. But in a sense, the name Kel Shakai, God said enough, that is used also, that is used whenever a special bracha of Pirya Verivya, is mentioned, let's say when God told Avram, he gave him the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and he told him he'll form his own nation, etc., etc. There God appears to Avram with the name Kel Shakai. That's the first time. And then when a base Kel, so he appears to, so Kel Shakai Nir Eli Beluz, God appeared there, he gives the bracha to Yaakov of many descendants and being a father of the Jewish people. And by Avram, that's where Avram becomes the father of the Jewish people. His name is changed from Avram to Avraham. He becomes the father of the Jewish people. So when it's period of Arivia, or it has to do with them becoming an Av, a patriarch of the Jewish people, the name Kel Shakai is used. And then when Yaakov gives a bracha to Menashe and Ephraim, so he uses the name Kel Shakai also, and that's a bracha because v'yidgu l'rov b'kerev ha'aretz, they should become many like the fish of the sea in the midst of the land. So when it comes to Pirya V'rivya, the mitzvah of having children, of having future descendants, future generations, the name Kel Shakai is used. Now it's very interesting, and this is something that I thought of only this week. When you take a look, the mitzvah Pirya V'rivya was not just given to the Jews. It was given to Adam HaRishon. It was, at least the bracha was given. Pruvu milu asaretz v'kivshuha. And then it was given to Noach when he came out of the Teva. But there, the name Kel Shakai is not mentioned. The name Elohim is mentioned. But the name Kel Shakai is not mentioned. But when we have a bracha Pirya V'rivya becoming many for the Jewish people alone, there the name Kel Shakai is mentioned. Why this difference? And I think the reason is because by the Jewish people there is a concept of Mesorah. By the nations of the world, we want the nations of the world to have families, etc., etc. But the nations of the world do not have that concept of Mesorah, of giving over to future generations, that the Jewish people have. That obligation of Mesorah. Now, in a sense, there is a mitzvah on non-Jews to have children. From the Torah, there's a mitzvah to have children. But the purpose is for them to have children. In other words, the children are brought into the generation of their parents. The children are brought into the generation of their parents. Whereas by the Jewish people, by the non-Jews, we see children as being coming new strength to the present generation. By the Jewish approach to the Jewish approach is, no, we see the children as representing the future, a future which we would not necessarily be there. Now, it's very interesting. Rashi here says, the Pasuk says, Ve'era el Avram el Yitzhak el Yaakov bekel Shakai. I appear to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai. So Rashi says, Ve'era el Ha'avos. I appear to the Avos. What's Rashi come to tell me? Rashi's coming to tell me that Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are the patriarchs of the Jewish people. Is that what I need Rashi to tell me? But Rashi is telling me, God now is in a sense chastising Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you're complaining. The Avos didn't complain. The Avos didn't complain. Why? Because the Avos were not so concerned about the present. They were concerned about the future. What is the perspective of a parent? What does a parent get his nachas from? Not to see, from a Jewish perspective, it's not to see the awards that the child gets, but to see that, to feel sure that that child and his children and his grandchildren will be prepared for the future when he's not there. That's why, that was the difference. Why couldn't Esav be a father of the Jewish people? Esav couldn't be the father of a Jewish people because Esav says, Anochi homlech lamas v'lamali b'chora. What do I need the birthright for? I'm going to die. I want to start my nation right away. Esav nasati is harseir l'reshes also. Esav starts his nation right away. What does Yaakov do? Yaakov avonav yerdu mitzrayma. Yaakov doesn't start his nation right away. The nation starts hundreds of years later. But why did he have to go down to Egypt? Because the Jewish people are able to overcome all hardships that they will encounter that caused other nations, all the other ancient nations to crumble. Because in their very foundation as a nation, they encountered these difficulties. They encountered slavery. They encountered imprisonment. They encountered torture. So because of that, Yaakov and Esav had to choose between the present and the future. Esav chose the present. Yaakov chose the future. And so this is what a true, from a Jewish perspective, parenthood means focus on the future, a future that I'm not necessarily there. In a sense, it's recognizing the difference in generations, but preparing for those other generations. And I think that that's the idea behind the Misha Amar Lolam Dai. In other words, Misha Amar Lolam Dai means to make borders in time. To make borders in time. And when it comes to Jewish period of Arivia, it's for the future, not for the present. So that's Misha Amar Lolam Dai. It's to recognize that there are borders in time, but our influence goes over those borders. We prepare for the other side of the borders in time. And that's the concept of Mesorah. But there is another explanation. The other explanation of Misha Amar of Shakai is that it comes from with the word Mishadet Marche Hateva. He who breaks nature. He who breaks nature. What's the idea of breaking nature? But there is a famous Maharal. It's really based on a Ramban. But the Maharal wrote pages and pages. And the Ramban said it in a half a sentence. the Maharal, the Maharal writes, and the Ramban says it also, that the seven represents nature, eight is above nature. And he gives us an example, Shmini Atzeres. He gives Bris Milah, he gives Shmini Atzeres, now to explain it, because I said Shabbos represents, on a spiritual level, Shabbos is the end of nature, but on a physical level, Shabbos you can't work. The end of nature represents man becoming a partner of God. Man becomes a partner for Jews only on the eighth day, and especially the Bris Milah represents a physical change that man has to make. So that represents the physical change that can only that in a sense is on the eighth day, because man on the seventh day can't work, even though bits of Bris Milah is the Ocher Shabbos. But the idea of eight represents man becoming a partner of God in a physical sense, whereas Shabbos, man becomes a partner of God in a spiritual sense. But when it comes to question Shmini Atzeres, now Sukkos, we gave 70 karbanos, 70 parim. We gave for the nations of the world. Shmini Atzeres, we gave one for the Jewish people. And the question is, I think, what's the idea? The idea is, the nations of the world, I have mentioned many times, Toynbee, was a historian, did not like the Jewish people, because the Jewish people didn't fit into the laws of history. In other words, there is a nature of history, the laws of nature of history, and the Jewish people defied that, defied those laws. So, in a sense, we break nature, we break the nature of history, the laws, we break the laws of history. And we break the laws of history, and that's the idea of Kel Shakai also. In other words, the nations of the world, they each have their period of time, but as periods of time change, those civilizations, those nations crumble. The Jewish people alone are able to survive with great hardship, but survive even in different periods, going from one period to the other period. And in a sense, that represents the Jewish idea of different generations. Our idea is to prepare our children, and when we prepare our children, we're not just preparing our children for... we're not just preparing our children for this generation. We're preparing them to prepare their children, to prepare their children, to prepare their children. We so to say, give them the perspective that they are a link in a chain that's going to continue. So that they are a link in a chain that's going to continue. This is the idea. This is the idea of Kel Shakai, and this is the idea of Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov. They're told they have promises, but the promises are for the future. And then there's another explanation of Shodet Marche Hateva, means to steal from nature. What does it mean to steal from nature? I have many explanations, but for the purpose of this pasuk, I'll mention one of explanation. To steal from nature, the idea is, there are different types of miracles. One miracle is Kriyas Yamsuf, where whoever sees it recognizes the miracle. But the miracles that are long-term, the miracles of survival from one civilization to another, that seems like it's done within nature. But then when you look at the whole picture, when you look from the time of Avraham Avinu to the time of now, then you recognize it's not just nature. It's above nature. That's the idea of stealing from nature. We steal from nature. Each period of time, it seems like it was natural, nature, our survival. You know, there was a time when we had Kriyas Yamsuf, but we don't have Kriyas Yamsuf anymore. We don't have the splitting of the seas anymore. But when you look at Jewish history long term, then you realize, even though from year to year, from generation to generation, it seems like it's within nature, you realize it's something we just stole from nature. And this is the idea, representing the idea of going from generation to generation, from period to period, to recognizing. And it's very interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein said a very interesting thought. It says, Lasos es haShabbos l'dorosam, to do Shabbos for your generations. He says, what does it mean, Lasos es haShabbos l'dorosam? He says, the way one observes Shabbos has an impact on the way whether future generations will observe Shabbos. He says, if one is constantly looking at the watch, you know, they say that Ivanka Trump, she told her father not to call her on Shabbos and all that. And her father didn't listen at first. And he called and she didn't answer the phone or whatever it is. But then, if he has to reach her, President Trump asks, what time is Havdalah? Well, if you're always asking what time is Havdalah, Trump being the exception, you can't expect them to observe Shabbos in future generations. If you're constantly looking at the watch, when is Shabbos going to be over? But if you observe Shabbos with a positive attitude, Lasos es haShabbos l'dorosam, and the children see that you look forward to Shabbos, so then it's Lasos es haShabbos l'dorosam, then you observe Shabbos in a way that we do it for future generations, and that's what we have to know. It's not just a question of this generation. We have to have, it's not just in regard to Shabbos, in regard to everything. It has to be Lasos as a Shabbos lit the roast.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
To once again thank all of you. If any of you are near Costco, pick up some forks and some small cups. Would be appreciated.
You want to take that out?
That's
great. Appreciate it. We're going to daven Mara in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We may need some help, so please just stick around and make it.
I might be on camera, I might not. They can check 50,000 dollars that I owe. I don't know, ask him to go come, but he can't.
The motion that you got.
Can you come into the comment?
Many books on them anymore. Thank you.
ויאמר אדוני משה. Thank you.
Call Sharon Mobile. Thank you.
Okay, you still see that.
Okay, love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
One to one?